know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for it. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome, everyone, to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. It is Wednesday. We are turning the page. I am Nathan Zagorilis, and as we stated last Wednesday, when Nathan's not here on a Wednesday, we're going to go throw it right to Coach Pettine, and we're going to do that right now.
Wednesdays bring about the start of prep for a new opponent. Given our results last week, I know our guys that are eager to get out there and compete and find a way to finish and get the result that we want. But we all know that when we're prepared, we play well. And that's what this part of the week is all about. It starts with our preparation, being mentally fresh, physically fresh, focused. So with each week in the NFL, it's a new set of challenges, and the Rams certainly present a lot. They're coming off a bye, got an opportunity to heal up a little bit. Playing at home, playing on the road in the dome is always a difficult task for your offense in terms of the communication. And then personnel wise, they present some problems defensively. Might be the best interior defensive lineman we'll face all year in Aaron Donald, an elite pass rusher in Robert Quinn, very similar to the challenge we faced this past week. Schematically they do a lot. They stress you a lot. Greg Williams does an outstanding job moving his guys around. You get some exotic pressures. You don't want to get behind the sticks against this group. They'll be able to bring it from a variety of places and play a lot of different coverages behind it. So certainly a challenge, and add on top of that the playing on turf, on the road, in a dome. Our offense is the margin for error is slim. On the other side of the ball, they've really built this offense around running the football. Todd Gurley is really starting to blossom as a rookie. I think he's averaged close to 150 yards his last two starts, and that's what they want to do. I think they're certainly going to see this as a matchup of their strength against our weakness, and we're well aware of that, and have to have a great week of prep, and that's got to carry over to the field, and we got to be able to execute when it comes to defending the run. That we got to be on point with our alignments, the assignment, the technical part of it, and with that being said, too, the passion, the 1-2, the competitiveness to stop the run has to be there. And they have a very capable, group of skilled players. From Britt, to Bailey to Cook, Tavon Austin is a game changer. I think they do an outstanding job of finding ways, creative ways to get him the ball. Whether it's screens, we'll just put him at running back and give him the ball. Jet sweep, and then all the accompanying plays off of that. I think they're doing a really good job of finding ways to get him the ball. And then also that spills over into special teams. They're one of the more creative groups. They view punt as an offensive play. They'll give you a variety of formations. Their punters can throw it. He's 6-for-8 in his career. They do a lot of things to test you. They force you to sometimes go vanilla in the punt return game, and that's advantage them. So it's a across the board, it's big challenges for us. But I know we'll have a good couple days, and we'll go out there prepared. On the injury front, Charles Gaines is returning from short term IR, is available to now practice. Glenn Winston is returning from the PUP list, so both those guys will be a welcome addition to the practice field. It's great to have them back. We'll bring them along slow, see where they are. We'll have a period of time in which to to activate them, make a decision on what we're going to do with in regards to getting him to the roster, if that's the decision, if that's the direction that we want to go. Also, Hausler, Hayden, Gibson, Craig Robertson would be the only guys that are not available to practice today. I'll open it up. No, I think to me, if you want to be, if you want to take that next step and be that, and start, it has to be an, it starts with an attitude. You have to want to. I'm not saying that's been missing, but in this game for sure. I mean, if we don't go out there wanting to stop the run and wanting to, you know, to play that street, you know, that street fight with them up front, because that's what they're built to do. That's what they're going to do. Then we'll get embarrassed defending the run. I mean, we have to, our guys have to be, you know, locked in, and that has to be the number one priority for those guys up front.
How much you guys were evaluating Gurley coming out in the draft? How much did you like him, and then how much is the fact that he was coming off that knee surgery affect how you guys were?
Yeah, looking back, there were the concerns, you know, that the. And also the lateness of the evaluation. I know he didn't do much at the combine, and then there were the late rechecks with it. I know there was a lot involved with that. But just from a pure the medical aside, from a pure football standpoint, I mean, we saw this guy as a special back. He was right up there at the top of our running back board. I'm sure he was in most of the draft rooms. I don't know exactly what the medical grade ended up being, but I mean. From just a pure football grade, I mean, this, and he's proven it already. I mean, he's a special back.
You taking him at 12?
I don't remember how exactly our board was ranked. I'm sure there would have been scenarios where he would have been in the discussion.
Did you guys feel like you dodged a bullet in some ways a little bit with Duke Johnson, maybe thinking that he was going to have a concussion or a shoulder surgery, and now he's not even on the injury report?
Yeah, Duke. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, anytime a guy goes down and gets taken out of the game like that, there's always concern. But he's cleared. He's good to go.
Is Hayden still under protocol? Or is
yes.
But you talked about the Rams pass rush, but when you look at yours, I mean, we can see that everybody can see the sack numbers. But you know, how would you evaluate it overall? Because I know you talk about pressures and affecting the quarterback. Are you doing enough in those areas?
I don't know if you can ever do enough, but it's an area that I think some of it is a function of the situations that we're putting ourselves in. That you know when you don't have leads and when you don't have the down and distance situations aren't ideal. You're not going to get as many opportunities or as many opportunities where you can just. Say forget the run. I'm stopping the run on the way to the quarterback because they have to throw it here. It's a function of that, and I think it's a lot of things. I mean, we need to win one-on-one pass rush matchups schematically. That we need to make sure that we're putting our guys in the best position and get the matchups that we wanted. But I don't think I can. You know, the if you want to say the low numbers. And I've never been, and I've said this before, I've never been one to get too wrapped up in the sacks, but I feel there were times, even Sunday, where we knocked Peyton down a bunch, and there were times where, you know, the ball, you know, he threw the ball, it was into the ground, or overthrows that we did have some effect, but that's our challenge every week.
How eager are you to see Hayes? I mean, last time I saw him play pretty well.
Yeah, very eager, and he's done an outstanding job along with our strength staff and our training staff to come along. And I mean, he's been in all the meetings. I mean, he's on point with what we're doing, and he was able. You know, he got the workout part of it couldn't help but you know get his weight down. You feel like he's in great shape, but he needs to get into football shape. That's the downside of this when you take that block of time off. That even though he's available and he's physically 100%, but it's the football part of it, and that's why we'll take it slow. I mean, with his designation, there's a window where I mean he has to practice for a period of time before we can activate him. Where it's different from Winston and from Telfer, whereas we can make that decision at any point on that timeline. He there is a rack of time that he has to practice.
Mike, with Hauser down, is activating Bibbs an option? Is
that it's in the conversation. We haven't finalized yet. How we'll work that out. So it's we'll know probably more after tomorrow. Just with the Demanche signing, I want Tabes to get a good feel for where he is. Once we get past the minimum position requirements, then it all turns to we'll work backwards then from special teams. So I thought Don Jones did an outstanding job stepping in for us and just really being his first week on campus. But that's one area where you can have an impact early, because a lot of there's a lot of carryover between teams with core special teams concepts. So that's probably the X factor this week is where is Demanche as far as Tapes' plans, and we'll work it backwards from there.
Preseason though, so I mean, what's keeping him from getting on the field? Is it just, I mean, you mentioned special teams right there. Is it that?
Sure. I mean, the third tight end's got to help you, and that's where Rob will be missed. He did a good job for us on special teams.
Mike, I know we ask this every week. I'm sure it's your least favorite question. Dwayne Bowe, where is he at now?
Yeah, well, I mean, we make that decision each week. We build the plan and see where we are from a depth standpoint. I talked about the minimum position requirements. The top four guys are entrenched. Marlon's doing an outstanding job on teams when he's available, and then it just goes back to the last question. Then you're going to work backwards from special teams.
What are the conversation points with McCown this week relative to facing that kind of a defensive front? Along the lines of, he's got to make something happen at some point to score. They don't want to make a big mistake either.
It's a similar conversation to last week, going against a group that rushes the passer as well as they do, as aggressive as they are defensively. I mean, they'll bring more pressure, or it'll be more exotic pressure than what Denver did, and just to add to it the issues with communication. But I think a lot of that has to do with the plan. And that falls on the Flip and to Kevin and the rest of the offensive coaches and the interaction with Josh and the offense to make sure that this week's simpler is better. You might have a play that could have a couple different checks based on what they're in, but if you can't get it communicated and executed in real time in that environment, it's not going to do you any good. So we just have to make sure we're walking that fine line between getting ourselves in the best play, but also I said it in the meetings when we were game planning, hey, just make sure simpler is better. Simpler is better this week just because of the environment we're going to be in.
Well, is that the biggest challenge? This is your only game in the dome this year. Is that a big deal?
It is, just because of the – I know we're going to be playing up in Seattle. I mean, each stadium, I know Kansas City gets real loud as well, but just the circumstances of being in a dome, I mean, that really forces you to – and what helps is having Austin Davis being there. He's been a part of that environment from the other side. I think he'll be real helpful for the quarterbacks this week.
It's only supposed to be like 35,000 people there, so you pump in silence.
No, that's it's still, I mean, that's 35,000 when it's bouncing off the ceiling and the roof and coming back down. Then it's still louder than most outdoor stadiums.
Do you get a sense of why some of these games, I can't say every one of the starts, but there have been some slow starts offensively. You look back, is there anything that really kind of stands out why you come on in the second half of games?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a matter of figuring an opponent out. They do a good job early, and we're still getting a sense for how they're playing us. There's been a couple games where teams have come out and played us a little bit different than what we anticipated, and have had to make adjustments. And with the quarterback, there's been some games where he's missed some throws early, and has gotten into the groove and a better sense of what we were getting, and improved as the game goes on. But they're all different. I don't see that necessarily as a this is a recurring problem for us as being slow starts. Some games we've gotten out of the gate. I mean, you look at the very first game of the year, we go offensively, that drive, 17, 18 plays, whatever it was. So I don't think that's a huge concern. but it's a priority every week. That's why we script out the openers. You know, the guys know, hey, these are the formations, these are the plays we're going to run, that they have a good sense, you know, that they can study them and know them, and that's important. You want to, especially on the road, you want to get out of the gate early to get the crowd out of it.
That was head coach Mike Pettine, and as always, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850, or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. It is Wednesday, so include the hashtag mailbag. Coming back after this, hopefully we get Nathan Zagura back on ESPN 850 WKNR.